Okay. Good morning. I'd like to start out with a couple of questions this morning. I've been thinking about why we do the things we do and what motivates us and what's the real reasons behind it. The question I'd like to start with this morning is, why do we dress so much differently from the rest of the world? And why don't we just dress like everyone around us? What's the big deal? Why can't I wear this? Why can't I wear that? This, that. How do we make rational decisions about that kind of stuff? So, to start answering those questions, I'm going to be thinking about what modesty of heart is. I'm not going to talk about the clothes we wear today. I'm not really going to, I might mention it in passing, but that's not where we're headed today. Hopefully, in 2 weeks. So, if you're bracing yourself for a message on your clothing, it's not coming today. So, is the definition of modest the length and tightness of a woman's dress or skirt or clothing? That's not the definition of modest, but when we think about modesty, that's typically what we think about, what we wear and typically what females wear, because men just wear a shirt and pants and that's it. That's not a big deal. No, but that's not quite true, but that's typically not where we focus. The definition of modest that I looked up, there is the modesty in dress. That is one definition. But the other definition is the quality of not talking about or not trying to make people notice your abilities and achievements. If you think about using a sentence, he's a very modest person and reclusive, or however you want to say it. Just someone who does not want to bring attention to themselves. That's the definition of modest. Definition of immodesty is, this is Aaron's definition, is look at me. Look at me. That is the definition of being immodest. Whether it is with your clothing, your lifestyle, or whatever, that's the definition of immodesty. Definition of modest, and again, in Aaron's, getting ahead of myself, is look at God, or what God has done. That is being modest. When we realize it's not all about us, it's not all about bringing attention to ourselves, but it's about bringing attention to God. I was thinking about Kevin's sermon last weekend on hypocrites and being whitewashed tombs. If we're modest on the outside, but on the inside, it's all about us still. That's kind of like a whitewashed tomb. We can dress right, we can wear modest clothing, but if we try and bring attention to ourselves and everything else, what's the point of that? If our hearts are at the same spot, we can wear the right clothes, but still take glory to ourselves and our money, our careers, our children, our cars, our trucks, our businesses, our talents, you name it, our athletic abilities, whatever. You can take glory to yourself with still wearing the right clothes. So clothes are definitely not everything, and we're not going to focus on them today, but they are important, and I will talk about them later. So modesty is about a lot more than how we dress. How we dress is, that's typically what we think about, and that's fine, but there's a lot more to modesty than just a dress code. Modesty is the posture of our heart. Is the posture of your heart, look at me, or is the posture of your heart, look at God and what God has done, and I'm not the main focus here. My life is not about me. My life is about God. Is that the attitude of our hearts? Some more questions. Is our life about us or God? Do we live for our own glory or God's glory? Is it look at me or look at God? Is our life a life characterized by pride or a life characterized by servanthood? Are we trying to serve our pride, or are you trying to serve our God? It was really interesting to me, the devotions that Clifton led off with in the Sunday school lesson, because we're talking about modesty, and that is synonymous with being meek and being humble, the type of modesty I'm talking about. So it was talking about pride all morning. I looked Friday-ish and saw that, we're talking about Hezekiah in Sunday school. Interesting. Hezekiah is a perfect example of immodesty. Look at me. That was what he was saying. The ambassadors came from Babylon, and he's like, hey, look at me, look at my armory, look at my wealth, look at my everything. It wasn't look at what God has done. And I don't know if there's a place, if he would have done that, I don't know if that would have been appropriate. Look at what God has done, how he's blessed me and showed him everything. I don't know if that's appropriate either, but that's not what he was. He didn't show them the wealth so they could glorify God. He showed them all the wealth so that they would glorify Hezekiah. And God had some judgment for him. So, inward modesty, another name for that is meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's what we're talking about. Meek, modest in heart, humble. I'm going to use them all kind of synonymously. We can turn to Philippians 2. That's where we will start. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. We have an example here, a perfect example of what modesty looks like. Again, when I use modesty, I'm talking about meekness and humility, not clothing. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you. This is our example. This is what our mind is supposed to be like. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So when you read verse 6, who, this is talking about Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus knew he was equal with God. Jesus knew that's where he was. He was royalty. He was the creator. He's the sustainer. He knew exactly who he was, and yet he was submitted to God. He was a humble servant, and yet he knew that he really was a prince and a king, and he was a humble servant who came down to our world. He knew who he was, and he knew that his life was about bringing glory to the Father. He knew that that's what he was here for. He was submitted to that, and that's what his life was. Is. So the question I want to ask is, do we know who we are as people? Do we understand who we are? Do we know where we would be without a Savior? Do we know how valuable we are? Do we know how sinful we are? Without a Savior this morning, we would be dead. We'd be dead in our trespasses and sin. Do we realize that? Or are we just pretty good people that grew up Mennonites and then matured and, you know, we grew up good people and we're good now because we just mature. No, we were dead. Without Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. No matter how morally good we may have been, we weren't perfect. We were dead. Without Jesus, we're nothing. We're sinners destined for eternal wrath. Without Jesus. This should humble us a little bit, the pride that we can feel sometimes, that we have all that we have accomplished in our spiritual lives. We have accomplished nothing. If our merciful Father does not draw us, if he hadn't drawn us, we wouldn't have went on our own. God draws us out. He draws us first. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. That's the wrong verse. No man cometh unto the Father except the Father draw him. God draws us to himself. So do we understand, like we can understand in our head, but do we understand that Jesus is our everything? Without him, we wouldn't have anything. What about success in the workplace? I worked hard for who I am today, and that's why I am who I am. Who enabled you to work hard? Is physical health a given? Jesus holds our heartbeat. He makes our heart beat. Who gave us minds capable of thought? Not everyone can do that. He gave us health. He gave us minds. We didn't choose what family we grew up in. We didn't choose that. We didn't get to choose that. We couldn't even choose if we were smart. He gave us our mental capacities. There's so little that we actually control, but yet we think that we do. We think that we do all this stuff, and that's why things happen. another one that I was thinking about was, do we take the glory? Do we say, "Look at me," when things are going well with our families? Or do we say, look at God. Oh, you have such nice kids. Oh, thank you. Have a good-looking father and a beautiful wife. Yeah. No, praise the Lord. What about, I've never actually heard someone say this, but not in these words, but I raised a godly family. All of them serve the Lord now. We raised them right. Can we take credit for that? Can we take credit for our kids turning to the Lord and serving Him? Can we take credit for that? We can take credit for being faithful servants, but as far as saving my children, that's something I'll never be able to do. Only God can do that. I can point my children, I can lead my children, I can be an example for my children, but I'm never going to be able to save my children. It's a little scary for daddy, but it's true. I grew up and I was dead in my sins, and my children will be too. They need a Savior. I can point them to the Savior, but as far as taking credit for how my children serve the Lord, I can say I pointed them the right way, but they chose God, praise the Lord, and God drew them. God draws men, He saves them, He sanctifies them, and He seals them with the Holy Spirit. That is all work that I cannot do. I can be faithful, we can be faithful, but we're faithful servants that say, look at what God has done, not look at what I have done with my children. I may have led well, but God's the one that saves them, and God's the one that sanctifies them. So that's not real good words for the ego, but that's what it is. Without Christ, without God, we would be helpless. All the things that we think we can do, we really don't. God does so much, and we're just faithful servants. And we need to portray that to the world that, no, it's not about all the good things I have done. God's the one behind it anyway. God does all this thing. The credit goes to God. That's a modern way of saying the glory goes to God. All the credit goes to God. Inner modesty understands that my life is all about God's glory. My life is not about look at me and bring glory to me, but my life is about God's glory. We don't have that much to boast about, really. What have we accomplished on our own? Paul says in Galatians 6-ish that I have nothing to boast about saving the cross of Jesus Christ. That's about all we have. Jesus is everything that we have, whether we realize it or not. We can go through life thinking we did this and this and this and this, and then judgment day. Oh, I don't actually have anything to stand on. Nothing that I did even mattered. I think that most of us can recognize how little we have to do with our success and how much we're really responsible for. Yet I believe that everyone has a longing for glory. I'm not talking about heavenly glory. Everyone has a longing for glory. You can use different words to describe it. Everyone longs for recognition, for honor, for respect, perspective of men, admiration, praise, you name it. And some of those things we long for are legitimate, but the natural bent of our heart just wants to take glory to ourselves and wants to draw attention to ourselves because that feels good to the natural man. That feels good when people give you a compliment, and there's nothing wrong with giving compliments. But when that's what we live for, we make idols of ourselves, and we serve ourselves. We can be guilty of being modest in some areas of life, and then in other areas we just want to draw that attention to ourselves. This is an example that I won't forget very soon. I was driving on, getting off of 222 at the Brownstown exit, if anybody knows where that is, and I see this hot pink, I'm talking hot pink, car drive past. Like, wow, just like makes you blink a couple times, and they drove past. And I look in the driver's seat, and there is a Muslim woman dressed in total black. I could just see slits. I could just see slits coming out. It's like, something looks wrong there. You're wearing total black. I can just see your eyes driving a hot pink car. It's like, you are very, very modest and very, very immodest at the same time. Something just does not line up there. And as I was studying and thinking about it, I was also remembering a certain young man that I knew who had a very loud, neon green crotch rocket. That'd be me. And like, wait a minute, that's really not that much different. I'm this Mennonite guy that dresses right and goes roaring off in this loud crotch rocket that says, look at me, look at me. It's like, guess we're not, I don't have too many stones to throw here. But I was also thinking, what about a Mennonite woman that wears a cape dress that is just skin tight and neon pink? What's the difference? What's it in those three scenarios? What's the difference? The Arab woman in the pink, hot pink car that says, look at me. Aaron in his green motorcycle that roars off saying, look at me. The pink car, admire my style. Look, notice me. The green motorcycle, look at how brave I am and admire my machine. It's all about us. The Mennonite woman, look at me, admire me in my skin-tight cape dress. Cape dress is perfectly fine, but we can be immodest no matter what we have. Glenn shared the other week about being careful with our giving, and the Mennonites that go to these big benefit auctions and buy expensive things and then say, put it back on. Look at me. Look at my generosity. Admire me. We can be guilty. I have been guilty of being immodest in my actions, in my lifestyle, while being perfectly modest in what I dress. Dresses, we weren't going to talk about that today, but we can be very modest in some areas, and yet the world can look on the same way that I looked on at that Muslim woman, be like, something's off a little bit here. I wonder what the world thinks sometimes when they see us. So do they look at us a little bit like, that's a very veiled, that I'm thinking about the Muslim woman, that's a very veiled woman in a bright pink car. Something's off in the heart. I think that the world can tell. And I think that we are people. I don't want to set this bar too high. We are people and we do make mistakes and we do need grace for some of our immodesty. So what was our example in Philippians 2? Jesus took the humble position as a slave. He was born as a human being. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Our example for humility and modesty did not live his life for glory. He wasn't living for his own glory. That's what the Jews were expecting when he came. When Jesus came, he was supposed to be a king of glory, coming in, riding, conquering, and he should have been in a palace. Instead, he was wandering in the cold, in the hot. He didn't even have a home. He was just wandering. He was serving the people. That was our example. We are called to be a humble people, and Jesus was not just an idealistic example, but we are called to be like him and to be humble and serve others, not just look at me, look at me. That wasn't Jesus' ministry. It wasn't look at me, look at me. He was pointing people to the Father and to relationship with the Father. Jesus was inwardly modest, but his modesty transferred into his outer life. He wasn't just inwardly modest and in a palace somewhere. He was inwardly modest and he was a servant. He lived his life as a servant to God. Now, I was critical of motorcycles and tight cape dresses and I forget what else, but giving at auctions. But I don't want to go off the other side and say that you need to drive a rust bucket and you need to wear a sack and you need to never put any money into your homes. That's not what I'm saying. That's actually going towards, I looked up the word because I couldn't remember what it means. Asceticism. That's saying that basically, good things are bad. You need to deny everything so that you can, you know, somehow become holy. That's not where we're headed. That's not true. Things that are nice, things that are expensive, things that are fast and fun, they're not bad things. But I think we need to analyze our hearts when we are attracted to those things. I'm not preaching asceticism. I want to challenge you to think, is this about me? Is it to look at me, or is this going to point people to God? Is it going to say, look, is it going to point people to look at our God? What is in our heart? When people talk to me about About successes, what do I think about? About financial successes, relational, children, athletic. What, when people talk to you about your successes, do we kick the glory to God, or do you say, "Thank you, I worked hard at that"? It's all about me, or is it by the grace of God that we're able to do that what we do? Can turn to James 4, verses 4 to 6. James 4, 4 to 6. I'll read this. That makes sense in the KJV. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." A part of that verse that stuck out to me was, "The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy." The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Basically, our hearts want to want. It's just the natural man wants and wants and wants and wants. We want what the world has to offer. In the previous verse, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But God gives grace. When I read that, I was like, "Hey, wait a minute. This is not canceling the enemy of God concept that Paul or that James just said. James says that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy with God. But God gives grace." Okay, so you can be friends with the world, and then God's grace will just cover that. It's like, I don't think that's really what he's saying here. God gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. People that realize where they'd be without God and realize how helpless they are really do anything, and they say, "I want what the world wants. My heart yearns for evil, but God, help me. I need help." God is meek. That's inwardly modest. God will not resist the humble. But God does resist the proud who say, "Yeah, I know my desires are wrong and I don't want to do what I want. I do what I don't want to do, but I'm going to work at that hard and I'm going to fix that and I'm going to get her done." God's going to resist that. You need to be humble, and you can't fix yourself. That's beyond our... We can work with God and God will sanctify us, but as far as doing it on our own, it's just not happening. So to conclude, modesty is much more than just the way we dress. Although that is one of the most obvious things that we can observe, there's a difference between, that's the place we can see the difference between modesty and immodesty real tangibly and quick. We are not called to be modest on the outside only, but also on the inside. Modesty on the outside with immodesty on the inside is just like the car with the Muslim woman inside. It just, something doesn't ring true to that. And I think people can see that. What we are on the outside needs to come from what we are on the inside. On the inside, we need to recognize our dependency on God and just who we are and how fallen we are. There's not much to be proud of in and of ourselves. But that's where our modesty needs to come from. That's all the things that we have given, that we have, are given to us from God, and he deserves all the glory for them. That's where our modesty needs to come from. Because God has given us everything we have. We are his servants. We're not our own lords. If we're our own lords, look at me. We're servants of that Lord. And as servants, we need to say, "Look at God. We're not taking glory for ourselves." That's not what servants do. If you want to serve yourself, go ahead. If you want to be your own Lord, then immodesty is fine. But we're not. We're servants of our Lord, and as his servants, we need to point to him, say, "Look at our God." I did also want to say that you can have a very right heart and be very immodest. So this is one aspect of why we are modest. The Bible does actually talk about it more, and hopefully we'll talk about it in 2 weeks. But life, you can, yeah, we'll talk about that more in 2 weeks. But life is, to close, life is not about bringing glory to me. Life is about bringing glory to God, and that's why we are modest. And that's one of the main reasons why. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that we would be a humble people, and that we would be a people that long for your glory, and that we could put self on the throne, take self off of the throne, and that you would give us the courage to sacrifice him and to die to ourselves. I pray that we would live for your glory, and that you would continue to draw us when we fail you, and that we would honor you with the way we live our lives. Praise your name. Amen.